Y'all ready?
Welcome to the teaching ministry of Bishop Daniel Harley, the resident pastor of Christ Our Hope Cathedral, Peter Mansfield, and overseer of the KZN Council of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley is a son of Bishop Dag Heward Mills, the founder and bishop of the United Denominations, originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches. Bishop Daniel Harley has a strong passion for missions and evangelism and has preached the gospel over many years. Join us now for a life-changing experience.
Let us pray. Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we bless you. As we come before your word, speak to us in a way that we'll understand. Transform us, improve us, and move us forward. In Jesus' mighty name, we humble ourselves before you. We say, mighty Holy Spirit, do your will and do your work in this place. Use me to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful, you may be seated. Well, tonight, for just the time provided for me or to me, I want to start sharing with you 12 ways God provides for us. 12 ways that God provides for his people. 12 ways. Amen. Psalm 23, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd. Let's read together. This is a pivotal scripture in the Bible which we must be conversant with. So let's all read together. Verse 1. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoints my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Why don't you put your hands together for yourselves? So in Psalm 23, verse number 1, the Bible says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Amen. David gives a summary of his relationship with God and what God does for him in return, or what it provides for him. He says, God is my shepherd. God is the one who's taking care of me. God is the one who's leading me. God is the one who's guiding me. God is the one who's directing me. Because of that, I shall not want. Because of what the role God plays in my life, it puts me in a situation where I shall not want. Amen. It puts me in a dispensation, a disposition where I don't lack anything. There's nothing that I will want. To want is to need something and not have it. Amen. To want is to need something and not have it. Not lust after something and not have it, or just wish for something, just something frivolous. But like to be in a state where there is nothing that you need that you do not have. Amen. When God is your shepherd, when God is your caregiver, when God is the one taking care of you, he can bring you into a position, into a state where you don't want anything, or you don't want for anything. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is bringing us into a good season. If you look at even from the Higham convention we had, the things we have personally, I have noticed that even as a church, when we talk about provision, most of the time our mind goes on to money. There are many other things God provides for us. But our mind goes on to money and to food. And I have noticed that even this year as a church, our financial levels have changed. Yeah. What we couldn't do the year before, by the grace of God, this year, we are able to do. Amen. I can't go into details for security reasons. You know the way it is. But like I'm telling you, generally speaking, some things we couldn't do, Pastor Spa, last year, we can do this year. We can do this year by the grace of God. I see that God is actually upping our levels, even financially, even in our ability, what we can do, what we cannot do. God is upping our levels. And I'm saying that I believe that it's a sign that God is bringing us into a place, into a season where we will have and have in abundance. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But I have come that you will have life and have it in abundance. I have come that what I have come to give you, you will have it in abundance." I see you enjoying abundance. Amen. Prepare for abundance. Amen. You will have it. You know, like things will not, you will not eat bread in scarcity. It's like as you are eating the bread. The bread is counted. I hear Sasco bread has 16 slices. Is it still so? Or it has been reduced? I heard it from church. It's like you've counted the bread. Yeah. One pastor, he was working with some people in the church. They were just doing any work in the church. As they were doing it, he felt that, they've worked, at least they must eat something. So he went to buy 2 loaves of bread. And when the bread came, 2 loaves of bread, I think a bottle of Coca-Cola or something, and then whatever to go with it. But when the bread came, there was one brother who was standing by. So when they were putting it, he just took one, then he started to press it together. I mean, he was just putting the bread. By the time they realized he had crammed the whole loaf together. There were about 8 working. And he alone, he had crammed he has made it into a sandwich. I don't know. Bread sandwich. Do you get that? When you have a sandwich, usually what is in the middle is the name of the... So if it's chicken and mayo, it's a chicken and mayo sandwich. If it's... vegetables, lettuce, and things. It's vegetable sandwich. If it's tuna sandwich. If it's ham sandwich. You know the way? Yes. He had made a bread sandwich. Which is, the bread is on the side. The bread is in the middle. And the bread is on the other. And he had crammed all together. And he was holding it like that. The pastor told me himself. Do you see? And he just started to chew it. As they were mixing. So the pastor asked, "What are the others going to eat?" So, I didn't know they were also going to eat. I mean, you know, the pastor was telling me, he was reporting something else to me, asking to say that the pastor was telling me that this guy, he doesn't think of other people. Do you get? Which the pastor was right, because if there are 4 of us or 6 of us and they brought 2 loaves of bread, I mean, be considerate. This is not where you are going to expand your stomach or everything, you know. But he took the whole loaf, 16 slices. And that's what the pastor who told me, 16 slices. And then he ate all. No, he just munched it together and ate it. Do you understand the verb to munch? Yeah, he munchim did together. Tell your neighbor, munchim, munchim. Yeah, munchim is an Egyptian word which means to cram all together. Do you see? But, and the pastor was really irritated. That's why he called me. But I also thought about it that, I mean, if people are working for you and you have enough, you won't buy food that one person, when one person takes his portion, the whole food is... Which is also, I don't blame the pastor, but the flip side is also true. Scarcity was the reason for the complaint. Because perhaps the amount of work the guy has done, he deserves a full loaf of bread. Yeah, a full loaf of bread. You never know. But scarcity can make you see some of the quarrels at home is because of scarcity. I'm telling you in the name of Jesus. Some of the problems at home is because of scarcity. When the electricity is at 37 units and it's beeping, it beeps every 30 minutes. Beep, beep, beep. And then you go and turn on the light. You see, like this light that has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's when your mother will ask you, can't you see with one? Do you get it? Meanwhile, the switch, one switch turns all on or off. It's not like they all have different switches. Your mother will ask you, can't you see with one? You go and turn on the geyser at a certain time. You must bath when everybody is bathing. If you don't bath quickly, you will bath cold water. Because the heater, the geyser is on from 6 o'clock to 6:30. After that, the geyser is gone off. These problems will be far from you. I said these problems will be far from you. Why? Because God is becoming our shepherd. And because of that, we shall not want. Sometimes a lot of the, look, even you see relationship, it's almost like the relationship can't work. Every day they are quarreling. Sometimes it has to do, it's not demons, it's money. Look, sometimes you are binding demons and it has nothing to do with demons. It has everything to do with FMB. Yeah. Sometimes you see that husband is always angry. It's because there's no money in his pocket. Yeah, there's no money in his pocket. That's why the slightest thing. I mean, he says he wants to eat eggs. You just ask him a simple question. Do you want it fried or what? Poached. Is that how they call it? Yeah, poached or fried. He's angry. And why do you ask me this question? How did I have it yesterday? Ooh. I'm just asking you. Okay, I want it fried. Then you make a mistake. You too, model C school girl. Do you want it scrambled?
Or an omelette.
Or you want an omelette? Sunny, look at the words here, you see. Sunny side up. Meanwhile, he's from Josini. How is he going to know sunny side up? When he said he's from Josie, he meant Josini. But you thought it's from Johannesburg. Josie, the need didn't come. Yeah. Josin, that's where he's from. Then you are coming to ask sunny side up, what are the other types? Omelette, sunny side up. Then he says, okay, you just sunny side up. Then he said, do you want it fried, medium, well done, medium? You become an annoyance. But when there is enough at home, before he comes to the table, there's sunny side up, there's omelette, there's poached. Then when he comes, he boiled egg, this day he's picking them. May that become your story. In the name of Jesus. That is becoming your story. Because God can become your provider. David said, I have a type of relationship with God that makes God my provider. And when God is my provider, I have enough. I have enough. I shall not want means I have enough. Yeah, I have enough. Some years ago in our lives, we eat and it's not enough. Oh, yes. I mean, anybody who has grown up before, if you have not grown up before, fine. But if you have grown up before, there will by all means be a certain stage. When you leave mommy's house and you start your own house, living by yourself, that some things will not. I mean, my son went to do shopping. He forgot to buy salt. He didn't know that you add salt to food. He thought that salt comes with the food. When he counted and calculated how much he had spent, he decided no salt, no bean bag. When he makes rubbish, he'll put it in his pocket. So recently when he came home, he made some food for us. There was not enough salt. His brother said he's using it like a salt from the rest. The next day he asked me, so why did we eat the food then? Since we were complaining about the food, why did we eat it? And may God take scarcity away from you. Now, for God to be your provider, you must understand four major principles when God is providing for you. Four major, before we get into the 12 ways, let us understand the four major principles when God is providing. You know, anything you do, they write under terms and conditions. Terms and conditions. Many people don't see God's provision because they don't respect the principles that govern God's provision. Number one, for God to be your provider, number one, you must recognize God as a provider. See and recognize God as a provider. See and recognize God as a provider or as your provider. God is a provider. Amen. I said God is a provider. And you must see and recognize it. Depending on how you see a person and how you relate with that person. For example, there's a way my wife sees me that makes her relate with me in a particular way. To my wife, I'm a husband. Among many things which I am a husband. So she expects from me what a husband gives to a wife. Now, a husband gives many things to a wife. I don't know why when we say that you only think of one thing. But a husband gives many things to a wife, which I don't want to go into tonight. I don't know why that's the only thing you are thinking about. Pastor Spark, can you imagine? Is that the only thing you do? Is that the only thing you do? Then it's possible that sometimes we are just husbands once a week, twice a week. I mean, think about it. Then we are part-time husbands. Or not at all. Nzamo. Yeah, then maybe sometimes we are part-time husbands or we are not husbands at all. Amen. There are many things a husband does for a wife. Even one of it is protection. Protection. The word husband is from the word house band. A band around the house. A band around the house. So God providing a husband for a woman is providing a band around the woman. One, protection. Two, an area to operate. That's why when you're a wife, you can't just be going anywhere you want to go to. You can't. There's a band that holds you. A jurisdiction within which you operate. You can't just wake up and today you have gone. I'm going. Me and my friends, we are going to what is the name of no Josie in Josie. No, you can't. It's a band. But even talking about what the protection, a wife shouldn't feel afraid when she has a husband, afraid of. People afraid of outsiders, afraid of in-laws, afraid of what is coming from outside. No. Look, you'll be surprised. Let me tell you, don't tell anybody. Some of the most terrifying people are in-laws. Don't tell anybody. That's a secret I just told only you. Why do I say so? No, you think about it as the man. How comfortable are you with your at your in-laws' place? No, I'm just asking. I'm asking in Zulu. How comfortable? So, just feel at home and be there. You, when you go to her house, do you feel at home? Do you wear your boxer shorts and be walking in the house like that? Why do we become inconsiderate when we flip things around? I'm talking about what... let me go on, please. I don't want to get into trouble this evening. My children see me as a father. And because of how they see me, it makes them know what to expect from me. Yeah, so when they are there, anything that brings a bill, they say, Daddy. Once they see the bill, they say, Daddy. You see, but if they see me as their brother, they'll never bring me a bill. No. They say, we are three boys in the house. We are all the same height, so we are brothers. They'll never bring me a bill. A day will come, they'll see me as brothers. They will never bring me a bill. But right now, they see me as a father. So all the bills, as soon as they see, they'll be thinking about me. Daddy? So, in the same way, like even in the church, there's a different way. Different people see me differently. Oh, yes. That one day I can tell. And I feel that my ministry is different to everybody based on how you see me. Yeah, based on how you see me. That one there, I can't force it. I can. It depends. It depends on you. Depends on you. Yeah. So the same way, depending on how you see God and the type of relationship you will have with God. If you see God, and God, He's so many things. He's a healer. He's a provider. He's what again? What are some of the things? He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He's the God of the world. He's so many things. So you can just choose one and see Him like that. So you can just see God as your healer. So the only time, like your doctor, the only time you think about your doctor is when you are not well. But when it's month end, there's no groceries, you don't go to your doctor. When you have to pay rent, you don't go to your doctor and say, Doctor Fundili is month end. No. Is Fundili a word? Fundili. Oh, okay. No. What does it mean? The reader. Dedicated. Oh, then I'm close. So the way you see God, if you see God as a provider, anytime you have a need, you go to God. But when you don't see God like that, it doesn't even occur to you. It doesn't even... Look, some of us, we never pray. When we need something, we never think of asking God. We never. You can ask your boss. You can ask your father. You can ask your friend. But you never ask God. Never come to God and pray and say, oh God, I need this. I have this situation. I need you to provide for me. I commit into your hands. Provide it for me. We never come to God. We just take it up because we are Christians. Yeah. God knows. God knows that I need money. God knows that I need food. God knows. Indeed, God knows. Like in my house, those who see me as the provider of the house, I provide for them, whether they ask or not. But there are some things I will only provide if you ask for me. If you don't ask for me, I just continue my life. I'll provide the basics. You need to eat twice a day in my house. If you have eaten a lot, twice a day. A lot. I'm not a prison officer, but think about it. How much can you eat? Do you get it? If you eat it twice, I think you will be fine. So I provide it twice. But just in case you have a specific need to eat three times and you ask me for the third one, that one I'll provide it for you. I saw this thing at the shop. I want to please get it from... I was at the shop with my children not so long ago. Somebody says they want this. I said, take it. They want this. I said, take it. Say, you want this? I said, take it. You want this? Take it. Once you ask, take it. But if you didn't ask, we would have come home. And the one who asks has four things. And the one who didn't ask has nothing. That's how God also treats us. When we ask Him, then He gives to us. Apart from the basics. When we ask, you will not ask somebody if you don't think they can provide for you. If you don't recognize that they have the ability to provide for you. You are here, you have been looking for a car for years. It has never occurred to you that take it up as a prayer topic. Take it up and ask God for a car. You say, I'm waiting for my husband to buy me a car. It's my husband who has to make the decision. Kneel down and pray and see what will happen. Go on your knees and pray and see what will happen. Yeah, go on your knees and pray, God, I need my car. Even I've told my husband, he doesn't mind me. So I need a car. You will see that, boom,
You'll be sitting there one day, your husband is, and you'll be surprised. At the end of the day, your husband will buy the car. But you will see how the car will come up. He himself, he can't say no. I'm telling you the truth. Look, if you will be honest to yourself, you will realize that many needs we have, we never pray about. We never take it up. Once a while, I think usually when we are sick, then that one we are afraid that we will die. Then we pray, oh God, heal me. Oh God, heal my stomach. Heal the left side of my stomach. I don't know which organs are there, but heal them, please. And then we pray. But when it comes to provision, as in food, what you need, rent, a job, don't say we don't pray, but we just sit down and blame the pastor. Go on your knees and pray about it and see if God will not come through for you. So see God. 1 Timothy chapter 5. See God as a prophet. Recognize that God provides. Recognize it. Verse 8. Let me read verse 8 and we go for it. Recognize it. But if any, you see, in 1 Timothy 5, Paul is writing to Timothy and he's telling Timothy how people should behave in the house of the Lord. This is where he says, don't rebuke an elder in public. Don't just come. You see, maybe the children are fooled around. You've shouted at them. Then there's an elderly person there. Then you shout at the elderly person too in public. No. If you have to correct an elder, take the elder into a private meeting and correct the elder. Because after you've corrected the elder has to relate with the children again. And the children will be moving with the elder like they are all, oh, that Nanku mama who didn't do the right thing. Nanku tata who didn't know. So take the person to a corner, rebuke the person, straighten the, even the way you rebuke an elderly person should be different from the way you rebuke a child. So he was telling Timothy all these things. Then he got to verse 8. It says, if any provide not for his own house. So he was talking about the fact when it comes to provision, everybody must provide for their own house. He said, if anybody provide not for his own, and especially for those of his household, those of his own house, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. He says, if anybody has a home, has a house, and there are people in the house, and he doesn't provide for them, don't count him as a Christian anymore. It's equal to backsliding. This is Paul saying. He said, that is the same. Denying the faith means you have left the Christian faith. He said, it's equal to backsliding. Somebody doesn't provide for his own house. It's like the person has backslid. And number two, he's like, he's worse. He's not even like an infidel, he's an unbeliever. He's not even like an unbeliever. He's worse than an unbeliever. The word infidel is the word that our brothers from the other religion, they use for which they kill the two things. They say red, they are red meat and they are infidels and they must die. They must die. They call them infidels. Once they use the word infidel to describe you, you are the worst type of enemy around. I mean, you are even an enemy to Jah. Do you know Jah? Yeah, to Jah. Yeah. So you are worse. And Paul said that, look, you are not only an infidel, you are worse. You are worse than an infidel. When you don't provide, if you are in a home, you don't provide. Some of you live in homes where there are different people. You are a number of people. It doesn't even occur to you when you get your salary to bring Sasco bread home before with 16 slices. Even when you buy, take 12 slices and bring 4 slices home. You buy milk, you put it in your bag and it expires in your bag. Milk that we can all use in the house, it has expired in your bag. You go out, you buy a box of pizza, you eat all, you force to swallow all. Traditionally, you can't eat one box by yourself, but you swallow all of it. Then you clean your mouth nicely, then you come home. Then when you come home, they have made food at home, then you eat the home food also. So that provision will come from you to the house, never. Yeah, you buy a 2-liter Coca-Cola in town and you drink all of it and you walk home with a straight face. By the time you come, your stomach is out like you are pregnant, and you come home with it. Can I get an amen from this side? I have a feeling that what I'm saying is connected to this side. The Coca-Cola is connected to this side. The milk is that side. The pizza is still this side. So Paul said that if you have your household and you don't provide for them, it's against Christianity. So now, if Paul says that providing for your household is against Christianity, then the God of this Christian faith, what do you think he does? What do you think he stands for? Yeah, what do you think he stands for? So God is a, recognize, you see, as soon as you recognize, your relationship with God will change. Sometimes you can only relate with God as somebody who's coming to save you from going to hell. So once he has saved you, he's completed his work. So it's just Bible says that work out your own salvation through fear and trembling. So your whole Christian life, you are working out your salvation with fear and trembling. You will get to heaven and you have lived a very poor life on earth. Prophet tells us the story of a man who went on a cruise. It was a 7-day cruise. I think a 7 or 14-day cruise. 14-day cruise. He was on the cruise. Every day when he went on, he bought his ticket, went on the cruise. He took a little food for himself. Every day he was in his cabin eating his food. Others will be swimming. Others will be partying. You see, when you go on a cruise, I've not been on a cruise before, but what I've heard is that when you go on a cruise, Jody, you have been on a cruise before, right? Yeah, when you go on a cruise, it's like life. There's nothing, there's nowhere to go. You can't go to ShopRite. You can't go to Pick and Pay. So everything is on the cruise itself. So it's like you live a normal life, which you would have lived in Durban or Maritzburg on the cruise. So if it's shops, if it's pools, if it's restaurants, everything is on the cruise. So this guy, he said he can't afford anything on the cruise. So he was always in his room. Always in his room. Always. He'll eat a snack a little, then he'll be in his room. Eat a snack, be. So one day, the captain of the last day, they were coming back to shore. Then the captain of the cruise came to him and said, we have noticed that since you came, you have not come for dinner, you don't come for lunch, you don't come for breakfast. When we go by the pool, you don't come. When we go there, anything we are doing, any party, you don't come for it. You don't come at all. We don't see you anywhere. Then the man said, oh, you know, after my ticket, I didn't have any more money. So I can't afford anything. All I can afford is to come on the ship and to go. That's all I can afford. Then the captain said, oh, why? Let me see your ticket. Then he brought out his ticket. Then the captain said, everything on the ship is paid for. It's part of your ticket. It's part of your ticket. It's the package you are on. Everything on the cruise. But it was the last day. By the time the captain finished talking, they were docking. Many of us, if our eyes don't open quickly, by the time we realize that God could have provided and would have provided the various things we are looking for, we will be getting ready to go to heaven. May it not be your case. I say, may it not be your story. God is a provider. What is it that you are looking for? From material things. You see, Jesus says, when you pray, whatsoever things you desire, the things we desire. Look, we don't desire only Bibles. Bibles are desires speaking in tongues. Bibles, no. We have real desires as well. It says, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have it. So God is expecting for us to have desires and to ask him about it. Believe that you have it and you have what you want. So from today, let your mind change about how God is and who God is. And you will see God providing for you. Put your hands together for Jesus. Number two. Principle number two. You must be able to see God's provision. Apart from knowing that God is a provider, you must be able to see God's provision. Genesis chapter 1. I'm reading from 25. It says, And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our own image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over everything that creepeth upon the face of the earth. So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he male and female. And God blessed them. And God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29, Bible says, and God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is in the which is fruit of a tree yielding seed, means they can bring forth after its kind, to you it shall be for meat. God said, look at, behold means look at, see, recognize, notice. He said, I have given you all these things, the herb, everything upon, and it's everywhere upon the earth. For you, it will be meat. It will be your food. Amen. Amen. I said, God had to show them, because God can provide for you, you won't see it. God can provide, you think your grandmother is the one who provided for you. God can provide for you, you think it's Ramaphosa who provided for you. So God had to tell them. God didn't just take it for granted that because they are in the garden, is there, they will know that because he owns the garden, he's the one. God had to tell them. Because when you don't tell people things, usually they don't know. Amen. Amen. When you don't tell people things, usually they do not know. One of the groups that if you don't tell them things, they will not know is children. If you don't tell them, they don't know where it comes from. My children used to ask me, how did your money get into the ATM machine? Did you go and put it there then? Because anytime we ask you for money, you say you have to go to the machine to take the money. How does the money get there? Yeah. You have to tell them. We are also like that. If we don't tell, you will know. You will not recognize. And you will not even see the provision. Sometimes God has provided a beloved for you. You won't see it. God has provided a good church for you. You won't see it. God has provided a good pastor for you. You won't see it. You can just be walking by and say, oh, but churches are like taxis. If you get out of this one, you can enter this one. If you jump out of this one, you can go into this one. Wait till you jump out, then you get into a taxi that they are just playing loud music and smoking daha. That's when you will see that not all taxis are the same. Yeah. Yeah, that's where you see that things are different. You'll be so surprised. God has provided a good pastor for you, a good church for you, a good church that cares for you, a good church that... A good church that is not taking your money and wasting your money. Yeah. It's not taking your money. Maybe the pastor is taking your money, using it on a lavish lifestyle. No. Not at all. It's a blessing that God has given to you, that a church that when the vision is to build churches and save and win souls all over the world, it's God's provision for you. That you may not go to Bangladesh. Do you know where Bangladesh is? You only see them during cricket. You don't even know. Are they in Asia? Are they in Africa? Are they in Europe? Are they in South America? Are they in Australia? Are they down under? You don't even know. By West Indies. Do you know West Indies? Even this morning we prayed for Haiti. Do you know Haiti? Haiti. Do you know Haiti? You don't know all these places. But one day you will get to heaven and God will say, well done. Congratulations. Congratulations for the souls that were won in Haiti. And you'll be wondering, me? Haiti? When? When? didn't even make a passport. Haiti? Never. God said, oh, don't worry. You see that offering you gave the other time, it was used to support the evangelist and he went to Haiti and these souls were won. You see that offering you gave, it was used to build a church for people in Le Palale. It's a good church God has provided. See it. Many people have not seen it and they've wasted their Christian work. Even some are still Christians now, but they've wasted their ministries. They've wasted their ministry. They didn't see that God had provided a platform for them to fulfill their ministries. What is your ministry? Your ministry is the thing that God has brought you on this earth to fulfill, to do. And God put you in a church specifically for that, to do that. But then they just didn't recognize that this is actually God's provision. And then boom, they let it go. And they found themselves in a situation where you don't know whether you are in the ministry or not. Do you get like this? You are in and out. Today, you are doing ministry. Tomorrow, you are a philanthropist. Tomorrow, next. You don't even know what you are anymore. You don't know what you are anymore. You don't even know where you are anymore. It's a provision. Recognize it. Sometimes God has given you a good friend to maintain your emotional levels. Yeah. Even sometimes God has given you a friend, she's always troubling you to teach you maturity, to help you to mature. Then you are fighting it. You're fighting it. Then you are fighting it. Then you are fighting it. See, he said, God said, look at, because Adam could have been walking in the garden and he said, God has not provided anything. God, he doesn't know that we'll eat because he's always fasting. He doesn't think that we will be hungry. Why didn't he make food for us? He'll be moving in the garden like that without eating. But God has said, no, look, you are a vegan. You are going to eat herbs. Help people that will help divorce. Herbivores. You're a vegetarian. Eat vegetables. It was actually in, I think, Genesis 9 that God came and said, okay, now you can eat the animals. Yeah, either Genesis 9 or Genesis 7. After the flood of Noah, then God said, okay, no problem. Maybe all this confusion because you are not eating meat. Now start eating meat. Lack of protein is affecting you, so start eating meat. So God had to come and say, he used the same phrase again. Behold, I have given you the cattle that then you eat it. Sometimes you can't see. Sometimes you watch even people, the things that, the important things in their life that God has provided, we can't recognize them. But from today, our eyes are opening. Our eyes are opening to recognize the things that God has provided for us. Number three. Principle number three. Next week, we go into 12 ways. You must know and understand how God provides. To be in a situation where God is your provider, you must know and understand how God provides. How God provides. Yes, God is a provider, but how does he provide? John 12, 23 and 24, it says, and Jesus answered them, saying, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dieth, it abides alone. But if it dieth, it brings forth much fruit. The Bible says that Jesus said, verily, before he said, God is going to glorify me. He said, the hour has come for God to glorify his Son. Now, when you think of somebody being glorified, what do you think about? That the person will be lifted up, the person will be put on a throne, the person, they will be singing. Is that not what we think about? But just the next day, Jesus said, verily, verily, certainly, most assuredly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and die,
it will always be alone. It will never be glorified. But if it falls to the ground and it dies, it will bring forth much fruit and it will be glorified. This was the strategy God was going to use to bring Jesus into glory. Many of us, if God were to tell, I'm bringing you into glory, and he says you must fall to the ground. No, you forget about the dying. Just fall to the ground and say, ah! What type of downward glory is this? Rather, people will ridicule me and laugh at me. Ah! You will ask, are you sure? Pastor, did you hear from God? Am I the one God said you should tell this message? Or the sister behind me? We will start to resist and we'll say, Tofiakwa, I must fall to the ground and die. But Jesus said, well, if it doesn't, except it falls to the ground and dies, it will always be alone. It will always be alone. But if it falls to the ground and it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. You will begin to see different fruits coming. Different fruits coming. Recognize how God's system, God's mechanism, how he provides. That's why usually one of the main ways God provides for us financially is by us giving. Your money leaves you. Because if you want to have money, you must keep what you have. And anyone that comes, you add to it, then you have more. God says, no, no, no. Me, my system is that give it. Give, and it shall come back to you. Give. But if you don't give, whatever you have, you will spend it anyway. You spend it, and then nothing will come back. Whatever you have that you were keeping, even after this verse, he says, he that loveth his life will lose it. Go, please, 25. You think I'm lying to you on it. He said, he that loveth his life shall lose it. You will, if you love your life, you say, me, I want to keep my this. I want to keep that. I want to keep. You see, you end up losing it. But he that hated his own life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. He said, the one who parts with it will get it till eternal life. But the one who says, I don't want to give anything. I don't want anything to leave me. I'm keeping everything I have. I'm having everything I keep, and I'm keeping everything I have. That's the person who have nothing. That is God's way. I have seen over the years many people trying to outsmart God and force God to provide in another way. I remember a girl who used to tell me about she wants to get married. You know, there are so many people I know, marriage or suicide, marriage or I die. The motto is marriage or I die. This one I have to sit down to tell you so I don't fall down. And I used to tell her that, listen, if God brings a husband, we will go forward. But if, and she had children. And I said, listen, if I were you, I'll use everything I have to look after my children. Because maybe my future is really in my children. Oh, no, Bishop, please, I'll be lonely. I'm alone. I said, you have been alone major most part of your life. And sometimes it's out of recklessness that you have lived in time past, but I'm not allowed to say it like that to you. No, sometimes it's out of a wreck. You can't see me. Let me get up. Wreck. Let me get up. Wreck. I'm up. Sometimes it's out of a reckless life you have lived in time past. Do you get it? I can't say it like that. I'm your pastor. But I told her, look, if I am you, if I was in your situation, I would use everything I have to look after my children very well because maybe my future really is me and my children. No, no, no. One day I was sitting there when she came to see me. I said, what's happening? So, Bishop, somebody wants to marry me. I said, glory be to God. Finally, this prayer is answered. So I said, oh, I didn't know you were in a relationship. So, Bishop. So I said, who is it that wants to marry you? He said, a certain man. I said, which man? He said, a certain man. I said, which man is a certain man? She said, a certain man. So I said, okay. So what's the situation? Then she said, but. So I said, what bat? I said, where is the bat from? He said, oh. So I asked,
She said, it's complicated. I said, why? Is it a long distance marriage? He said, no. Hey, I said, no. She said, no. Then I said, what is the problem? She said, oh, he's already married. So I said, you are going to marry somebody's husband? She said, no, he is coming to marry me. I said, hey. So I sat down, I said, listen, me, as far as I'm concerned, this cannot work. This cannot work. Then she said, then I said, oh, but you know that one agreed to something like this. Why have you come to see me with such a... Are you trying to test me or something? Then she said, oh, I came to see you so that you can bless the marriage. I said, oh, you are under a demonic attack. No, the devil is attacking you, seriously. So I said, look, I'm giving you 4 weeks to go and pray about this thing because the problem you are getting yourself into is more than you even think it is. You are just thinking of just small loneliness. You feel cold during winter. You have not heard of electric blanket. You go 4 weeks, go and think about it. After 4 weeks, she came back to see me. I called her and she came to see me. I could see she was avoiding me. So I called her and said, Sisi, so what is the situation so far? Have you broken free of the attack? She said, no. I'm waiting for you to change your mind. So I said, as for me, there's one thing I know. I'm not sure about everything, but there's one thing I'm sure of, that I'm not the one blessing this marriage. As for that one, I know. I don't know tomorrow, but tomorrow is Wednesday. Yeah. Eventually, she left the church. Yeah, she left the church. I married some people also. I blessed their wedding. Later on, I figured, after their wedding, they became funny. Then they left the church. But later when I added two and two, I realized that maybe they were in another church. The pastor refused to bless their wedding. Then they came to pass here. When they saw my face, I was smiling. They passed here about 3 weeks. Then they said they wanted to get married. Then I also naively went to bless their wedding. Yeah. Yeah. So I left it. About 6 months or 8 months later, the husband called me. That they are having brutal problems. And since I married them, they wanted to come and see me for counseling. I said, I don't do counseling for people who have married and have left the church. Yeah, I told them, no, I don't do so. I said, oh, I think you go to some church. Go there, let the pastor counsel you. I mean, I don't do this type of counseling. Yeah. What am I talking about? How God provides. How God recognize the system by which God provides. Sometimes you have to let something go for something to come. When it comes to God, you have to let something go for something to come. You can't just come. You are holding on. Since you are holding on to the thing, how would you take what God is providing? Some of us, the relationship you are in has to break. I'm going home. As close, I'm going home. You don't believe. Look, one day I was at a camp and I asked them, how many of you are in relationships? Then those who say the truth said the truth. Those who lie also lied. All of them combined. After I told my pastors, all these relationships will break. I said, it's not a bad prophecy. It's not like a curse. They will break. Because all the relationships, most of them were started with the wrong mind. Don't look at me so surprised. You don't like the truth. That's why I changed this service to a servant arm and train service. Because people don't like the truth. I told my pastors, I said, all these relationships, just watch them. They will break. Because now, and it's not a bad thing, now people are learning the truth. So after you learn the truth, you realize that, this is not a relationship. This is not a relationship for me. Then you say, I'm stepping out. Yeah, this is not a relationship for me. You learn, because you went into that relationship blind. Yeah, everybody's got a guy, so let me get myself a guy. Then when you learn that, you realize that, we are not going to the same place. Why am I in this taxi? I better get out of this taxi quickly. This taxi is going to... Like magic. Do you understand magic? One by one, one by one, one. I'm sure as at now, all of them have broken. Yeah, all of them. Even when I set foot in this church the first time, they told me this person is a relationship with this person. I said, all these relationships. As soon as I said, oh, these things, they are all going nowhere, slowly. No. Ask the bishop, if you go and tell him about your relationship, you say it's going to break. No. When I saw, you see, when you see a relationship that is going somewhere, you can see. At least from experience, you can see. When I said, everything, the pastor, this person is beloved, this person is, I look at it and I say, even the girl is older than the boy by 4 years, where is it going to? No, seriously, the girl is like the boy's mother. The girl is beating the boy, where is it going to? Which man wants to be beaten by a woman? Anyway, since you don't want to hear the truth, I'm saying that when it comes to God, God's system of provision, you always have to give something. Then he'll give you something bigger. You give something, then he'll give you something bigger. You give up something, then he'll open a bigger door for you. That's God. Recognize the system and accept it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Look, one day, a brother was giving us problems. Then I met somebody he used to be Lavedos. Then I was just looking at the person, and the person told me, God has delivered me from this problem. Yeah. No, I'm serious. I met his original beloved from 2010, who escaped in like 2014. When she saw the problems, she said to me, Pastor, God has delivered me from, thank God he delivered me from this problem. Meanwhile, if at that time somebody had told her that the breaking of this relationship is actually something to lead you into a better relationship, you would have argued, because when your heart breaks, your heart is broken and you start to cry. But it's God's way. God recognizes the gift upon your life, and he knows who can entertain the gift and allow the gift to develop to serve his purpose. That's why he's removing this guy from there, Ali Baba from there, so that he can bring Shaka Zulu. But you are saying, Ali Baba or I die. Ali Baba or I die. When Elijah, 1 Kings 17, I close. When Elijah met the widow of Zarephath, I'll give you the fourth one. I have the points. I'm just telling you. When he met the widow of Zarephath, he told the widow, make me a piece of cake. From the little day, he asked the widow, what do you have? Because there was famine in the whole land and nobody had food to eat. So he asked the widow, what do you have? And the widow said, hey, as for me, I just have a little piece of dough left. I'm going to make some smaller nyana and bread and something. And then me and my son will eat. And then after that, we die. This is the person who knew that the day she was going to die. After we eat this food, we go and prepare to die. Why?
Because there's famine, there's no provision. Then Elijah said, okay, it's not a bad idea. But before you make the food and die, since you are going to die anyway, and you are ready to die, I am not ready to die. So make some for me to eat first. Before you go and make for yourself. If it's finished, you go and die. I mean, dying today or dying tomorrow, what difference does it make? But the prophet said, make for me first. If it was any of us, we'll say that the pastor or the prophet is duping us. The prophet wants to dupe us of our money. But it's God's way of providing for us. He said, make for me first. Make for me first. Just make for me first. Whatever your case is, I don't care what will happen after. Just make for me first. Then this widow went to make for the prophet. When he made for the prophet said, go and get jars from your neighbor. By now, nobody has anything. So their jars are empty. If you go, they'll even dash it to you. Go and borrow, but they'll dash because they don't have any use for it. Go and take from them. Bible says, when she went to take it, her miracle came. The oil started to run over and over and over and over until the jars were filled. This is how God provided for that widow. Sometimes understand. If you don't understand, this is why people fight paying tithes. And you look at them and it's funny. It's funny. If you knew the crisis you were averting by paying tithes, now you may even decide that you pay double tithe. Yeah. I knew somebody who, you say pay tithe, they'll argue. Pay tithe, they'll struggle till unemployment hit them. Yeah, till they lost their job. Yeah. Now pay tithe. Every day I sit down, I say, brother, pay tithe. This brother was not married. I said, pay your tithe. So I'm saving to marry. The beloved left. The job got spoiled. Yeah, even a brother. Remember that story I told you? He was keeping Zim dollars under his bed. Do you remember the story? Should I tell you again? One brother, he wasn't paying tithe. So I went to visit him. I didn't go to visit him because of the tithe. I just went to visit him. But as we were talking, tithe came up. And I told him, listen, brother, pay your tithe. Honor God so that God will honor you. Okay, pastor, I'll do it. Okay, well, zero. Then as we were talking, I saw under his bed stacks of bills. So I started to wonder. I asked him, what is it under? Because where I was sitting, I could see. I said, what is under your bed? Then he pulled it out, Zim dollars. In fact, when he put, they were dollars. Zim dollars. Yeah. So I look at the dollar bills, Zim dollar bill in South Africa. And this guy was living in South Africa. His wife was living in Zimbabwe. His wife and children were living in Zimbabwe. So I said, oh, but what are you keeping all this money here for? So I told him, why don't you send it to you? It was in the days that we were chopping Zim dollars. So he's the one who gave me 1 trillion. He gave me 10 trillion or 10 billion, some very trillion. He gave me 2 notes. I'll tell you what I did with the 2 notes at the end. You remind me. So he gave me the note, trillions. I had never seen trillions before. I thought I was at World Bank or Reserve Bank. Money. We were sitting there one day, not many days later, when they announced that we won't spend Zim dollars again. And the Zim dollar, I'm telling you, like, stacks like a drug dealer. Like when you watch movies that they are drug, you see how the money comes. Yes. I told him, why don't you send this money at least to your wife and your children? No. She's that woman, she's greedy. She doesn't spend. I said, at least, even if she's greedy, she'll use some to take care of your children. No. I don't know anybody who can say no like this man before. Anything you tell him, no. We were sitting there, not many days hence, when the announcement came that we won't spend Zim dollars again, we are spending dollars, US dollars.
all his money. So I went back. When I heard the news, I said, Chocho, I took my car. I used to drive a green car at that time. I sparked my car and I drove to his house. I said, brother, have you heard that this money all week? I look under the bed first to see if the money was there. And the money was there. I said, have you seen that now? All this money is waste. Come and see him crying. Come and see him crying. It's not paper. And it's useless paper also. Because it's not paper. You can't use it to write a letter. You can't use it to do. Maybe you are going to have a bride and use it to start fire. Shh. Number four. Fourth principle. We close with that. You must develop and use what God provides for you. Develop and use what God provides for you. Develop it and use it. Develop it and use it. In Matthew 25, we see in the parable of the talent that the master gave to his servants according to their several abilities. He gave one 5, he gave one 2, gave one 1. All they were supposed to do was to use it and develop it. Use it. The one who got 5 used it, developed it, got 10 more. The one who got 2 used it, developed it, got 2 more. When the master came, he said, you have been faithful with little. Come, I will make you ruler over many things. Because you have developed the one I gave you, I'll even give you more things. Then the one who didn't do anything, he didn't do anything. He didn't use it, didn't develop it, nothing. When the master came, he said, take even what I've provided. What is it that God has provided for you? Sometimes God has provided a skill. Sometimes even your beauty is something God has provided for you. Develop it and use it. Really, pastor? I'm beauty? Now you are going to see what I'm going to do. Look, please. Not every beauty. It's not your beauty is not just for going to chase men. So I'm beautiful. Really? I'm going to use my beauty well. I'm going to shape up my beauty and collect my beauty and use it well. No. There are some jobs you are taking because you are beautiful. I said there are some jobs you are taking because you are beautiful. Many doors open for beautiful people. Yeah, you are giving the job because of your beauty. If you flaunt it, you just put it all around, as they call it what? Beauty privilege. It's like white privilege. Yeah. Yeah, there are some jobs they take you because you are beautiful. Because when you come, they want a beautiful person. I mean, this type of TV jobs. I mean, unless they are looking for a king in Movango, they are not going to take you if you have a certain look. Once a while, you get this type of Whoopi Goldberg roles. But generally speaking, they won't take you. Go and look on TV and see all the people on their shows. Once a while, they need somebody. Even the guy who did The Gods Must Be Crazy. Remember that guy who did that? I think The Gods Must Be Crazy. Is it that guy? Is that that one or Shaka Zulu? One of them. I don't know which one, but one of them. After that, couldn't get any role to do again. Yeah. After that, he couldn't get any role to play again. Yeah. I don't know him. I don't know that guy. I'm just telling you. There are some jobs, they take you because maybe you have a smooth face. Because people will have to see you. But if you have a straight face like a traffic cop or a principal... Like a principal or something. Yeah, there are so many jobs. They look at how you look, how you smell, your attitude, everything. That's why nowadays, they check on your social media, everything. Before you, even I had now a way they interview, take you out for coffee. They just take you out for coffee. And they are just having coffee with you, but they are interviewing you. You don't know they are interviewing you, but they are looking how you sip the coffee, whether you just pour... They are watching all these things. Whether you munch the bread or you pick it. They give you coffee with a cookie. You say they are giving you coffee with biscuits. They are watching all these things. Yeah.
When you take the fork and knife, how you move with them? What is the skill that God has given to you? It's a provision. Use it. Develop it. Anything. Sometimes God gives you an opportunity. God gives you even a relationship with somebody important. Develop it. Use it and develop it. Through that, God will provide for you something. Yeah. God, one day that person will make a phone call and you will get a promotion. But some of you break relationships like you break biscuits. Yeah, you break. Oh, once month is oh, what? Who cares? Oh, crap. Then you just break the relationship like you are breaking biscuits. But maybe through that relationship, that look, that person may even open only one door for you, and then it's over. But that door may change your life, change your family's life. Yeah, it may change your life completely. But if you don't develop it. Even developing by a good, keeping the relationship, good attitude, everything. Oh, before long, the relationship is poor. Then one day you realize that you need this guy. You can't even call the person. Because we called you many times, you didn't return the call. Now you need the person. How are you going to call the person? May you develop what God has given to you so that God will provide more. Stand to your feet. Let's bring the service to a close. Lift your hands, let's pray. Father, behold every hand that is lifted up, we pray. Change our hearts and our minds towards you, that we will see you as our provider. Like David said, you are his shepherd, he shall not want. May we be able to say that you, God, being our shepherd, we shall not want. We shall not. Help us to recognize you as our provider. Help us to recognize what you have provided. Help us to know and understand how the systems, the mechanisms that you have set in place to provide for us. And Lord, finally, help us to use and develop what you have already provided for us. We give you glory. We give you praise. Mighty Holy Spirit, be with us. Give us wisdom. Wisdom to know what the Lord has provided for us and to use it to our benefit. That at the end we'll say like David, the Lord is our shepherd and we shall not want. We give you praise. We give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said amen. Oh, say your loudest amen. God is providing for you. I said God is providing for you. God is opening doors for you. God is giving you opportunities. God is preparing a table before you in the presence of your enemies. In the name of Jesus, you will know no lack because God is your provider. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, thank you for your supernatural provision. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. So these are the principles that must govern us. Then we'll go into how. 12 different ways that God provides for us. Once we know those ways, it's easy for us to just tap into God's provision. Hallelujah. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. We believe you have been blessed by this life-transforming message by Bishop Daniel Harley. For more information, contact us at 204 Peter Kirchhoff Street, Pietermaritzburg, or call 083-773-1605. God richly bless you.